Breakfast puppies?
This podcast contains adult language and content and is meant for mature audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
We're all set to begin, so let's dive right in to Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Talking bicycles and motorbikes, gamer things and all the like. You can listen to it in your cars, but mostly it's about dive bars. Bikers, Dice, and Bars.
Hey, Xander, what are we drinking?
Ugh.
Oh, no, it's another plastic screw top.
Oh, it sure is. This is going to be the same company. Veracruz Reserve Especial Authentica. That's supposed to be tequila, I guess.
Yeah, there's a lot of,
some palm trees on here.
Sounding words on there.
There sure is.
Tequila flavoring in.
Yeah, and I guess I couldn't find it. Apparently, they also make a grape wine triple sec.
They have an interesting label. Their agave leaf looks like it had a one-nighter with a pot plant.
It's very deadhead. I do agree. It's been tossed a little bit. The tasty notes on this say roasted green chili.
Ew.
What?
You lost me already, man.
Ugh.
Black pepper. Agave. I would hope so. Mm-hmm. And apple. All right. Let's see how it is, guys.
I have a hard time with the word agave just because once upon a time I was in a coffee shop and this very tall, skinny, REI hippie looking white lady went up to the counter and said, "Excuse me, do you have any agave?" And she said it just like that, agave.
This smells exactly like the last round, only with a little bit of a fruitiness to it.
Yep. Yep.
Like it's
dilute rubbing alcohol with a
tiny little dropper worth of agave smell.
Yeah, and there's a little topper.
What the fuck?
This is the most watered down tequila blanco I've ever had.
It doesn't taste like tequila at all.
This alcohol has less flavor than my isopropyl cleaning alcohol.
That raises a lot of questions.
First of all, are you okay? Is this a cry for help?
Well, here's the thing. When you're cleaning computer parts and you're set up, you've got all the things laid out in front of you. And, you know, you've got a little bottle of acetone to kind of clean some of the processor goop off. You've got some isopropyl there to kind of do a little bit of spot cleaning. And it's a long day, so you've also got some liquid that you're drinking yourself.
Oh, boy.
When you accidentally grab the wrong thing and just kick it back, expecting it to be vodka. Oh,
buddy.
And then you very quickly spit it out because I never swallowed that shit because I'm alive. But it was nasty. It was nasty in that it was completely flavorless. It almost actually tasted almost very similar to Barton's Bottle Shelf Vodka. I was not drinking Barton's that day. I was drinking some, what's the M one?
Medeav?
No, Medeav. Yeah. I think they're made here in Portland.
Yeah.
I was drinking that. Anyway, this tastes about like isopropyl alcohol.
Yeah. I'm glad to see that the accident was with the isopropyl alcohol rather than the acetone.
Yeah.
Because your enamel thanks you.
Yeah. Mm. It's only fortune that happened that way. But ever since, I've made sure to always put them a little further away. So then my drink's always at my right and everything else always on my left.
So talking about bad decisions.
You're listening to Bikers, Dice, and Bars, recorded in Portland, Oregon. I'm in VC.
I'm Jess Jacob.
I'm Dr. Xander Gerrymander.
I am Poppy Beaujolais.
So what are we talking about tonight?
Well, our last discussion was about how to drink and not hate yourself the next day. This is the episode we were talking about when you failed at that. Mm-hmm. You failed at the far end, not the beginning. Mm-hmm. You did drink, and you drank like an asshole. Now it's time to suffer.
Is anyone here Catholic? Can we really go full suffering?
No.
I mean, I'm technically lapsed.
Catholic light. I'm Episcopalian. Does that count? No, it doesn't. There's no guilt in my religion.
Do you even do aerobics during Mass?
No.
God.
What is that? Massercise?
That's the other name for it.
Messiah-size, baby.
Messiah-size.
Stand up, sit down, kneel. Stand up, sit down, kneel. Stand up, sit down, kneel. So shake hands.
It's like the religious version of burpees.
Yes.
Or, oh. Or Turkish get-ups. There yep. we go. Yeah. Yep. But it's, what is it, Jesus get-ups?
Yeah. They just call them resurrections.
Oh, yes.
Holy Trinity, yes. Because we're Catholic, you know.
Okay, we got to tell our trainer that.
Yep. So.
Well, the proper thing I say, when I, you know, tits to Jesus, when you're trying to do proper, you know, positioning when you're working out, it's tits to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Okay, anyway.
So you've made a horrible choice. It is
giving your tits to Jesus.
All right, hold on. That inspires me of a funny story, really short. Completely unrelated to anything, but it's one I don't think I've ever told.
Outtake.
This might go in the end. Who knows? Okay. We'll figure it out. Back when I lived in Atlanta, I had at one point a roommate. We're just going to call him Crow. Crow was, he was a pretty cool guy. We had some great stories. We went to a Goodwill one day, I forget why. We went to the Goodwill and we were looking through the clothing section, and Crow was much smaller than I am. Crow was almost Xander sized, maybe a little thinner. He got to wear the Yikes. Men's small and the men's medium shirts that I didn't get to because I wore larges and extra larges, which meant he also got all the shirts that had the cool shit on them because mm-hmm. those are the ones that are less picked over, yep. which means there's more options there. And he found these two fucking shirts there, which were amazing. Goodwill finds. One of them said it was done up in like tie-dye writing on like a yellow shirt. And it said, "Hands up for Jesus," with an exclamation point. And the other one that he got had like some kind of a Ralph Bakshi style or maybe Fad Albert style, that kind of character artwork that's kind of long and slinky. Mm-hmm. And it had the slinky art style character on it that said from the front, "Pimpin' ain't easy." And on the back, it said, "Hoes just scared." And it's like, one, wow. definitely inappropriate, wow. but these are Goodwill finds. They were priceless artifacts of the Goodwill.
Amazing.
I once found a Goodwill shirt that said, said, "Stay negative, be positive." And I was like, what the fuck is this?
Probably during the AIDS crisis?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was going to say, yes. I know where this one's from.
Yeah. And yeah.
But it was clearly for like alternative youth and stuff like that.
Cool.
You know, and I got it was all black shirt with some kind of like industrial looking logo on it. And it took me a while to finally figure out where it was from. I found it, but it was, yeah.
That actually gives me another tangent, completely unrelated. I remember years ago seeing in a movie, and I'm pretty sure it was The Goonies, but I don't know if it was The Goonies because every time I've seen The Goonies ever since this memory, this hasn't happened in the movie. But it's something about somebody playing a keyboard in a dangerous situation, and somebody's like, "Is that A sharp or B flat? A sharp or B flat?" Well, somebody says, "If we don't do that, we'll all be flat."
Yeah.
But then someone else made the joke. Explained it that A sharp and B flat are the same fucking note.
They're the same note. Yeah.
And I wasn't really into music at the time, and I learned it from that line. But that line's not in the movie. He does the A sharp, B flat, we'll all be flat.
Yeah.
But then no one explains the joke every time I listen for it. So maybe there's like an extended cut of that, or maybe it was a different movie that was making fun of it. I don't know. Dear listener, if you remember this, please.
I don't think that's in the movie. Just that. I think it's just your buddy sitting next to you who knows that they're the same. The joke is that they're the same note.
Yeah.
So, oh, well. So talking about being flat.
On the ground.
On your face.
Or next to the porcelain god. Hangovers and how to deal with them.
Okay, before we go into how to deal with them, let's talk about our worst hangovers.
Oh, God.
Jacob, you get to lead. Put you on the spot.
Yeah. Well, my worst pure hangover is I had a couple experiences were worse. Don't mix drinking heavy and influenza, just tip for the crowd, was probably, and if my brother who occasionally listens to the show is going to be screaming at me, was a night where I went on a 11-hour bender from, you know, 4 in the afternoon to about 3:30 in the morning. And I drank roughly a bottle of Irish whiskey, well over a 6-pack of mixed beer, multiple mixed drinks, and an insane amount of like basically Gallo wine. I got home, crawled into the shower, and took a 3-hour long shower. Our water heater normally only had enough water for 15 minutes, so that'll tell you exactly what was going on with me. And I ended up like crawling out of that after having vomited all over myself, and spent the rest of the day in bed.
Yeah.
But that was like, I mean, technically any hangover is actually an early stage of alcohol poisoning. Mm-hmm. This was well and truly beyond that.
My worst one was, I was 21 or 22. There was a fraternity on Georgia Tech campus called Psi Upsilon, which I wasn't a member of, but I rented a room at their house. And they had an annual party called the Heaven and Hell Party.
Oh, no.
They had 7 consecutive levels of drinks, or sweets, or 9 consecutive levels of drinks. You know, everybody goes to hell. Very few people ever made it to heaven because heaven was apparently very difficult. The sweets just got more intense and more intense. People couldn't handle it. But hell was super popular because people liked to drink. And the drinks were creative. The first one was the year-old ham special light that they bought that night for next year and put in the shed. And this is in Georgia. Warm. Year-old warm ham special light. Or beast if they couldn't get hams that year. The second one was the pink panty pull down, which was triple sweetened Kool-Aid made out of vodka. Then there was something else. And then there was something called the Captain, which, Captain Crunch and Captain Morgan. And then there was something else called a Dante's Inferno that had a habanero in it. I don't remember else was in it. At some point they just set a drink on fire and then you drank it. I never made it to heaven or to hell because by the time I drank the Dante's Inferno, I was like, this is the end of me. I turned to the person next to me and just said, I am ended, and passed out on a couch outside. I woke up the next day just with, I just couldn't move. I felt so shitty. I lost the rest of that weekend. Mm-hmm. Like, I was just an unperson.
How many times did you participate in the Heaven and Hell Party?
3. But the second and third time, I chose to not give a fuck and just drink.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. You know, I went to the party. Mm-hmm. I paid the $5 to get in. I did like the first couple levels. And then after that, I just fucked off and drank whatever I wanted.
Okay.
On my own time. Never, ever, ever, ever again, Captain and Captain.
How many times have people actually completed heaven or hell, to your knowledge?
Heaven, the last time I checked in on this, which was like 2005, I think at that time only 2 people had ever made it all the way to heaven, whereas hundreds of people make it to hell. Apparently hell is actually super easy if you're young and dumb and like to drink and hate yourself on the next day. You're fine with that. But one of the people who went to heaven, his story, the first person I think who made it to heaven, he in one night decided to work his way into and back out of both heaven and hell.
Oh, Lord.
And he only won on a technicality because things came out, but as long as they went back in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, buddy.
Yeah. But you know what? God bless them.
Wow. Okay.
Did you win a prize for making it to heaven or hell? Or is it just a little badge of honor you could boast about?
It was just a little badge of honor you could boast about.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. And it was, you know, it's a frat.
Okay. So that,
yeah, I don't know.
NPC, that was your worst hangover? Poppy? Xander?
Xander doesn't get hangovers.
Yeah.
So, anybody ever been to the Mercury in Seattle?
Sure have.
Oh, I have never been there, but oh, have I met people with stories.
So, 2007. I was 26. My very first visit to Portland. So I flew from Denver to Portland to see some friends, and I took the train up to Seattle to see some friends up there who I went to college with, who I hadn't seen in a long time. And they were like, we're going to take you to our private members only goth industrial club tonight and get you drunk. And I was like, good luck, because I'm still living at sea level at that point. And I was 26. I could drink the Flatlanders under the fucking table.
Yep.
Generally.
Until that oxygen aeration adapts,
you
know.
It's more like until you go to a club that doesn't have to limit their pores because they're it's a private club. So, yeah, which I did not know. These weren't standard pores. So I'm having a good old time. And
oh boy.
I don't remember a lot of that evening. I do remember that somebody carried me to the car. Which was, I mean, I was like 110 pounds back then, so it was, you know, whatever. Like, somebody carried me to the car, and my friends drove me back to their apartment, and I had to get up at 7 o'clock in the morning to kick my train back to Portland. So, get up. I'm pretty sure I was still just drunk. And at some point, it merged into a hangover. But I woke up, threw up. You know, just doing that alcohol sweat thing, you know, because it was like July or August.
Ooh.
End of July. Yeah. So it was warm, you know. So, yeah, I don't remember a lot of it. I do remember I got to the train on time. We had to take the bus there. So that's super fun being on public transportation. We had to get off one stop before because I had to get out and throw up. So there I am in a street corner in Seattle at like 7 in the morning. On like a Tuesday, just puking my guts out. So that was fun. One of my finer moments. I'm very proud. Get on the train. It's a double-decker train. And my seat is up top, which means the train is swaying back and forth the whole trip. And it was just like 4 hours because it was the Coast Starlight. Not the Cascades.
The best train, by the way, is the Coast Starlight.
Empire Builder for the win.
Okay, I haven't been on the Empire
Cascades.
Builder.
Anyway, so I basically spent the first half of the trip just in the bathroom, like curled up on the floor, throwing up occasionally. And I spent the rest of the day very slow. My friends picked me up from the train station. I went back to their house and laid down and basically slowly ate a bagel and drank a Sprite for the rest of the day and just lost that entire day.
I like the spoon motion as you were drinking Sprite with the spoon.
Eating and drinking and just, yeah. It was fucking terrible. Yeah.
I just realized I was wrong. That was the second worst hangover. Xander gave me the worst hangover of my life.
I was going to ask if you were going to mention St. Patrick's Day.
I'm not going to tell the whole story here. I'm just going to say that one year at St. Patrick's Day, Xander and I think had known each other for maybe a year or two at this time.
Yeah.
And St. Patrick's Day, this was the last time in my life I ever celebrated St. Patrick's Day.
Shit.
It's a bad memory, but I drank so much that night that a friend of ours, just leave it at that, friend of ours was driving me home, had to frequently stop so I could throw up on the side of the road. Yeah, that was pretty intense. That was so intense that it was like a shameful moment for me.
Yeah.
That I've kind of like blocked it out. But I remember the next day I felt like death. It's like, I will never, ever, in my rest of my life, trust Xander to mix me a beverage. So, Xander, can you pour me a little bit more of that? Because not actually terrible.
You can just have the rest of it. There you go.
Like, hey, Nathaniel, can we like split that beer or something?
Maybe.
I want some beer, but I don't want like the whole beer.
Maybe.
So the closest thing that I ever had to having a hangover was I didn't eat all day. I was hanging out with this chick and we polished off a bottle of Fighting Cock bourbon, which is like 103 proof or something like that. And just between the two of us, we polished off the whole bottle. No mixers, just taking straight shots for hours. And I woke up the next day and was very tired and then walked and got food and I was fine. That's my story.
Oh, I've got stories about waking up with orange vomit in my hair because of too many Orange Crush and Absolute.
A little too many Tic Tacs.
The Gothtail party one year with the Black Manhattans. Mm-hmm. And then we went to the strip club afterwards and I kept on drinking.
Genius.
Oh, my goodness. I was in pain.
Mm-hmm.
I was in pain. But that, yeah, the Seattle story is by far my worst. And I'm not proud of it. It's more funny now because I was like, yeah, I was 26 and thought I was going to show up all these, you know, Seattleites with my drinking prowess and did not go well. It was not good.
Yeah, I have just a handful of hangovers that, and out of that, most of them were, I was drinking on top of being sick because I used to do that all the time. So, yeah, it was like that one and one other time where I was at a friend's wedding and I became Evil Jacob walking around with a specially mixed bottle of Gallo wine.
Oh, you monster.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like Evil Jacob.
Oh, you've met Evil Jacob.
Yeah, but not that bad.
Yeah. Well,
that's a special kind of evil.
Yeah.
I don't think I've met Evil Jacob.
You've met reserved Evil Jacob.
Oh, okay.
But yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So that one was so bad that I woke up with a splitting headache, which meant I was the only person who wasn't hanging out of their tent vomiting actively when everyone woke up.
Oh my God. Actually, this last Halloween when we did the RPG just amongst our friends, I had a pretty good headache the next day. I think that's my last hangover I've had.
I mean, I could talk about the time that I got so drunk with a brand new person I never met before and became fast friends with at Dragon Con one year. We got so drunk that night that we pulled out tasers and started zapping each other to see how it would feel. That sucked the next day, but it was great that night. I mean, wow. There's so many dumb shit that I've done that I've paid the price for the next day. How do we not feel that shitty, Jacob?
Oh,
what could we do?
You know,
to mitigate this.
So if you listen to the episode that precedes this one, you'll talk. We talked a little bit about pre-planning.
Mm-hmm.
And
but what if you'd done already fucked up?
But what if you've done already fucked up? Poppy.
Disclaimer, we are not medical professionals. Mm-hmm. This is not medical advice.
I'm a doctor.
He's what? Not a doctor. His first name is Doctor.
Oh yeah, shit.
I'm a real doctor.
We are not medical professionals. This is not medical advice.
Yes.
I didn't say it was a medical professional. I said it was a doctor.
And while some of this is actually very substantially researched and comes from my own experience working in chemical dependency and working with medical professionals who have an interesting approach to their heavy drinking, let me tell you.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, hey, nurses like to drink. One of the big things is the next morning doing all the stuff you should have done the night before.
Right.
You know, waking up and grabbing that sugar-free Gatorade that you thoughtfully left next to your bed and downing it. Not being afraid of throwing up once. Making sure you rehydrate.
There have been times that I drank so much that when I got home, I made myself throw up.
Yeah.
Because yep. I felt so fucked up that night that I had to set up a little pillow fort near the toilet, mm-hmm. get myself all comfortable and just sort of lean over it, kind of, you know, do my arms across each other. Mm-hmm. So give my head a little rest and then just finger down the throat, mm-hmm. let it all come out, pass out upon the toilet, wake up then somehow in my bed the next day feeling so much better than I would have.
Yeah.
Grab the Mucilix, or if you don't have that, fiber tablets, or even just whole wheat toast. Hmm. You know, get fiber into your body. It A, helps fix all the gut flora that you just jacked up, and B, it helps calm the system down.
My family is always sworn by Menudo.
Oh, yeah.
Which?
That's the missing band, right?
Wait, what? Ricky Martin band, right?
Yeah, it was, but we're not talking about that yet.
Okay.
So why Menudo actually works and in a
is
lot
that
of...
it's made by an abuelita.
Well, of course, because it's Menudo as opposed to some cheap knockoff. Is because you have this mixture of beans, which are a...
Beans? You put beans in your menudo?
The ones I've had, but, you know, I've had mostly South American menudo. So, you have a mixture of beans. You have a great chicken stock, which has a great mix of easily digestible fats and proteins. You're getting a large amount of fluid back in your body. You are getting salt because... You know, we've talked about the sweating, the drunk sweats. Mm-hmm. You pull so much water and electrolytes out of your system that all of that has to be replenished.
Yeah.
And part of the reason you feel like shit is because you are dehydrated. You know, and one of the big mistakes is like, I'm just going to drink a lot of coffee. Don't have a little. I mean, because you don't want to add caffeine withdrawal if you're a hardcore coffee addict on top of a hangover. But it's not going to sober you up, and it's only going to prevent you from feeling worse.
I think, stepping backwards a bit, one of the big mistakes is waiting until the next day to do these things.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yep.
Like that bottle of Gatorade that you have next to you waiting for the morning, drink it before you go to bed. You're going to have to wake up and pee like a racehorse, but you're probably going to have to do that already. That whole eating greasy foods thing in the morning, that doesn't really help the next day because the damage is already done.
Mm-hmm.
But... like if you eat that greasy food before you even start drinking, that helps, you know.
Well, the other good thing about Menudo, in addition to it just kind of being a fun family Mexican tradition of mine and many other Hispanic families, is part of the flavor that you put in there too is either a pig hoof in there for just flavoring, just kind of the gelatin of the hoof itself. And it's good luck when you spoon into that bowl, you actually hit the hoof first. You're like, the hoof is mine.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good luck thing. And also the other thing too, is we put tripe or tripe as kind of the main meat in
the cow stomach, right?
Cow stomach lining.
Yes.
Cow stomach lining.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks like honeycomb.
It's so good.
It's very good. I have a hard, the texture throws a lot of people off. Plus when they find out that it's cow stomach, but if you put into like little like nickel sized pieces, it's very delicious. And, you know, kind of the folklore behind it is that you use another animal's stomach to absorb the booze in your own.
Funny.
Yeah.
Well, cows have so many stomachs. They have,
they have too many.
They have so many.
Yeah. They,
so many.
They can afford to give me one.
So I've pulled up the National Institute of Health's page on hangovers here.
Mm-hmm.
So this is NIAAA.NIH.gov. So what causes a hangover? Real quick. A number of factors can contribute to hangovers. Mild dehydration, right? Alcohol suppresses the release of vasopressin, a hormone produced by the brain, sends into blah, 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 blah. Disrupted sleep, right? As we were talking about in the previous episode, alcohol inhibits, I believe, citation needed, but I believe it's stage 4 sleep. It's the reparative sleep. Gastrointestinal irritation, alcohol directly irritates your stomach lining, including nausea and discomfort. Inflammation, alcohol increases inflammation in the body, contributes to the malaise that you feel.
That kind of helps explain why my old hangover cure before I got old and crappy was I would drink whatever I wanted, and then that night before I go to bed, pop 4 ibuprofen, full glass of water, go to sleep, wake up the next day, feel fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, no, it just doesn't work. Now I just feel shittier because the ibuprofen is actually good for you. It fucks with other parts of your body.
Acetaldehyde exposure. Right. Alcohol metabolizes into a toxic short-lived byproduct.
Yep.
Acetaldehyde and contributes to inflammation in your liver, your pancreas, your brain, your body, basically. And mini withdrawal. While drinking, you feel calmer, you feel more relaxed, and this quickly wears off. Your brain quickly adapts to those positive effects. And then when it starts to wear off, you can feel restless and anxious. There you go.
Real quick to end this off. What do we feel about, I mean, not medically speaking, because I know the answer is not great. Personally, hair of the dog?
Nope. That's just preventing withdrawals.
Doesn't work for you?
It doesn't work. It is just preventing withdrawals.
Yeah. Yep.
That's all it's doing.
You know, I mean, I have mixed feelings on that, and it's a much larger subject than I'm willing to get into here just because it's a very case-by-case circumstance. If you're a prolific and regular drinker, hair of the dog is functionally not that much different than tapering off. So.
Well, right. If you are dependent on alcohol, you don't want to quit cold turkey because it can kill you.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, alcohol withdrawal can kill you.
Yep.
Do not quit cold turkey. Talk to your doctor, please.
Yep.
But yeah, there's basically no such thing as a hangover cure other than time.
Mm-hmm.
And menudo.
And abuelita making you menudo.
Yeah. Everything we've been talking about is primarily symptom management.
Yes, symptom management, not a prevention.
You should go back to our previous episode and learn how to not drink like an asshole. And that'll probably help you not have a hangover.
Yeah. Stay hydrated. Eat good food. Fiber.
Mm-hmm. Healthy fats.
Healthy fats.
Easily digestible protein.
Menudo.
Menudo.
Which?
The Dale Watson song, Hair of the Dog.
Mm-hmm.
Great song.
But I mean, really the only way to prevent a hangover is to drink in moderation and or not drink.
Mm-hmm.
But since you're listening to us, bikers, dice, and bars, you're probably going to drink anyway. So thanks for listening. We've been enjoying talking to you about our drinking stories. We're here in Portland, Oregon. I'm NPC.
I'm Just Jacob.
I'm an actual doctor, Xander Gerrymander.
He is not a doctor, but I am Poppy Beaujolais.
Again.
Keep it shiny side up.
Always tip your bartender.
Yeah, roll some crits and stuff.
Don't drink like an asshole. By which I mean, please always drink responsibly.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for joining us, friend. We've reached the end of Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Talking bicycles and motorbikes. Gamer things.